The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strongwriter on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. That's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along. My mind's made up. My mind's made up. My mind's made up. My mind's made up.
Yeah. My mind's made up to learn from a serial songwriter. And I think you know what I'm talking about. First of all, I'll introduce myself. My name is Dean Olson. I am the Strong Writer on the radio, and it is my job on this show, my objective, to keep songwriters and artists musically fit. And the way I love to do it is through faith and encouragement, by learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you. I really love it when I have songwriters on this program, professional songwriters, that is. And my guest last week was the incredible Shelly Piken. A name that may or may not be familiar to you, but if you heard the songs What a Girl Wants by Christina Aguilera, as well as Come On Over Baby, All I Want Is You, those were number one hits in 1999-ish. But in 1998, she got a Grammy nomination for Best Rock Song with Meredith Brooks' Bitch, which hit number two on Billboard back then. And then success continued to shine on Shelly as she went on, and she wrote songs for Mandy Moore, I Want to Be With You, Human on the Inside by The Pretenders, Who You Are, sung by Jessie J, and Hook Me Up by The Veronicas, which hit number one in Australia, and Almost Doesn't Count by Brandy, which hit number 16. And these were all co-writes. Most of what she does is collaborations, as she told me. She likes the company. She likes being around songwriters and creating with them. And it seems to have worked for her. She's made a career out of it. And at this late stage in her life, those are her words, she shows no signs of stopping. And as a matter of fact, she is writing a book about her experiences in the music biz. And the book is called Confessions of a Serial Songwriter. I want you to go to shellypiken.com. It is spelled S-H-E-L-L-Y. P-E-I-K-E-N, ShellyPiken.com, and you can get all the information on her, get to know her philosophy through her blog, which is simul-posted through the Huffington Post. You can look at Shelly's videos and musical credits and all that good stuff. But a really fantastic resource is this new book of Shelly's called Confessions of a Serial Songwriter. All the information is at ShellyPiken.com. Now, that is what we were talking about, that book, in last week's episode. But now, I want to bring you the exciting conclusion. I know I didn't mean to leave you hanging last week, but there was so much to talk about, and I couldn't leave it. At just a half an hour, we had to pick it up. In part two, here is the incredible and talented Shelly Piken. I'll talk to you right afterwards. Well, I want people to, you know, when you told me, you sent me a message saying that you were going to self, but same thing that you just told me right now.
It's right.
Self-published, but then you got a publisher. But Hal Leonard, that's, I don't see how you could have said no. That was really good.
Yeah, they're perfect. It's perfect because it's my little niche. I'm not going on Simon & Schuster where there's books about everything. I mean, Hal Leonard is passionate about all things music, and the fact that they have Backbeat now, which is it called an imprint or a division of Hal Leonard that is looking, you know, is wanting books about or using publishing books on that are memoir and about people's lives and their experience and their journey. It was just unbelievable how that happened.
Yeah.
It was perfect, and I think had it happened a year ago, it might have been too soon. I think the universe made me really go through full circle what I needed to go through before somebody said, yeah, we want that.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when you get published by some, company, they'll all of a sudden tell you, don't give away this, don't give away that. Is there anything you might be able to, one little thing you might be able to tease from the book that was coming?
I put something out a couple of weeks ago that I was really thinking about holding back. Uh-huh. And that was because before I really realized I wanted to be a songwriter, I was in college and I was in a performance, a musical performance, and I was recruited from somebody in the audience to be in the Miss America pageant, along with a lot of other girls that were in that show.
Okay.
And I said, sure, why not, very casually. And this was in the state of Maryland. I was going to school at the University of Maryland.
Okay.
And about five of us said yes. Well, I won that state competition, and next thing I knew, I was in the Miss America pageant. And this chapter, I think, really reveals about how we find who we want to be in life, not only from the choices we make, but the things we choose to do that we find out
absolutely
aren't our road. And I have no bad feelings about that and no regrets, but it really taught me about who we should say yes to and who we should say no to, and that little inner voice is saying, is this who we really want to be?
I like that post. I did see that,
uh-huh,
too. Yeah, that's good. It may or may not be in the book, but like I said, I'm not going to poke you and prod you about that whole thing, but because I really want to, be surprised when I read it, and I think everybody's. I just want everybody to get excited about the book because it's an important thing, and you being in the biz like you are, and the success that you were experiencing, and all the wisdom that you teach to the younger generation, shall we say, that gives you some street cred, and people will really want to read this.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the business is changing a lot, and the culture and the way we get into rooms and write, the craft and the process is changing, but creativity is creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think the book is also just a lot of fun, peeking behind the scenes of where songwriting and the craft was at 20 years ago and how it got to be the way it is today.
Yeah.
And it's not a judgment. There's no better or worse. It's just different. And it's fun to see how it evolved.
Fantastic, Shelley. You know, you were talking about the Miss America, and I saw some of that stuff. A little confused here about how old you are. You keep hinting, but you don't put your age out there. Is that on purpose?
You know, anybody could read... if they read the book, they're going to figure it out.
They're going to figure it out. I sort of did, but then I don't want to. I just want to make sure that we're.
Sometimes it comes out of my mouth, and I'm like, "Is that true?
I want to get on there and say, "Hey, Shelley, you just said something. Don't do that."
I feel like a baby in so many ways, and I feel, I feel all different ages, and it's really not a number, it's a state of mind.
Oh, absolutely,
so that's why I just like to keep it that way.
I mean, the reason I sort of joked about that is because you are working with younger songwriters, and they, just from a faraway perspective, it looks like that they respect you and that they relate to you, and it's vice versa.
Some of them do, and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them would love to get in a room with me every day, and some of them say, oh my God, she's as old as my mother. What am I doing?
Oh, I know.
that's okay. I look at some very young artists and think they inspire me, and I want to be in a room with them. Yeah. And some of them I look at and say, they're as young as my daughter, and we have nothing in common, and they're not interested in me, and I'm not really interested in them.
Yeah.
Oh. It really depends. It's not about the age. It's the state of mind. I have friends who are 70 who are younger in spirit than friends of mine who are 30.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And vice versa. So.
But you said something that I sort of took away from that one event. You said, go where the love is. Don't, if they're not into you, then you're not into them. Forget
it. As goes with anything in life.
Absolutely.
Any kind of company you keep.
Nice.
Right? In
yes.
any room.
Speaking of the company you keep, so every once in a while you post your good friend Susan Koch. I think that's wonderful. And she's a wonderful woman, too.
You should do an interview with her.
If you would introduce me one day, I would love to. She does a lot of videos online and talks. And
she does workshops via, this is Susan Koch, it's S-U-Z-A-N-K-O-C.
K-O-C, yeah.
.com.
It's an unusual spelling, S-U-Z-A-N,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she does workshops via Skype, and she does workshops in her home, so she could be, you know, she could workshop your songs anywhere in the world, and she is the best.
And she could do that on the phone, through Skype, anything
yeah.
like that, huh?
She critiques. She's a song listener. She does it through taxi, and that's what she does. And she will whip your songs into shape.
She is, yeah, that's an unusual gift. It's
yes.
a very good gift to have.
Yeah, she was my first publisher many years ago, so I had a good mentor.
Publishing as far as music goes?
As songs. Mm-hmm. She was
yeah.
my music publisher.
How did
mm-hmm.
you get started with that then? How did you meet?
She was working for Warner Chappell in France, and I wrote a song with Albert Hammond that became a huge hit over there.
Oh, okay.
And she came over with her boss to give me a gold record for that song. And then after that day, this was in the mid-90s, she went back to Paris, and I hadn't seen her again until my tiny little first publisher, Hit and Run Music,
uh-huh.
hired her from Warner Chappell to work for them. And I was the luckiest girl in the world because she not only went from Paris to New York, I had moved from New York to L.A. at the time, and they sent her from New York to L.A., and Hit and Run had maybe 6 writers at the time,
uh-huh.
2 of whom were in Los Angeles. So we had a lot of really good quality time with somebody who listened to every song and caught every line that could be better and told us when a song was, you know, remarkable, even if we didn't think it was. She was very inspiring, and I was very lucky to have her.
Does she give you tough love when she doesn't agree that that's
oh,
a good
yeah.
song? Okay, good.
Yeah, she's not shy.
No, that's fine. But she sounds like a wonderful person,
yeah.
According to you. So,
yeah.
You know. Oh, yeah, please let me know if she's ever interested.
She's interested, I'll let you know.
That's excellent. And I don't want to take all your time up. You got time for just a little bit longer?
Sure.
Oh, good. I'll take a quick break and then we'll sort of wrap it up here. But like I said, I get a little ADD, not to demean any of that. But my songwriting partner, who I'm going to see tomorrow, he says, you know, let's get together and we'll just bang around a few ideas. And we hadn't done that in maybe 8 years. So it's going to be interesting to come back to that. And we get a little off track.
That's okay. But that's what we creators do.
Yeah. And since I was talking about collaborating, you've... Guy Roach, what was the man like to work with?
Oh, Guy's a gentle soul. He's thoughtful and considerate and so musical. I loved working with Guy because I could walk in the room there and he always could play something that would make me think of something that I might not have had when I walked in the room.
Oh, okay.
I guess that's called inspiring. And he could also look at words that I came in and just know where to go. We had a nice little run there. I don't know what makes people move on from each other.
Mm-hmm.
A curiosity to see how you'd be in another writing relationship or different writing relationships with different partners. I guess in life and love, if we choose to have a more common kind of relationship. What's the word? Not common. We choose to maybe marry and be monogamous
mm-hmm.
and stay faithful. We don't have to be that way creatively. And I think that there's, we can indulge in different relationships legally and morally. And find different parts of ourselves that, in contrast with variety.
Well, that's good. Thank you for thinking that out a little bit, because you two had a couple of, you know, hits.
We did.
You had Brandy's
yeah.
hit, and you had
right.
Christina's.
Almost Doesn't Count.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now those sound like two different types of songs, or both of them have vocals that sort of go all over the place, right?
So, which one?
The Brandy one, not so much, but Christina, you know how she does those vocal runs that go up and down.
Yeah, but you know what? That wasn't part of the songwriting.
That's what I wanted
to
get to.
That was because Christina is just such a great singer and stylist, and she takes it to where she drives it. she gets in my little car and she drives it and she goes her own way.
Well, you caught what the real question was when you two write a song like that and it's completed. Perhaps you did a demo or something like that, and are you surprised of the outcome, the final
product?
Pleasantly. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Speaking of the demos, do you do that on occasion when you want to work with somebody else, or do you just get in a room with, say, Guy or Meredith when you did that one album? And
do I do with the artist, you mean?
Yeah.
I very often write with the artist.
In the same room, right?
You sure. Don't,
yeah, that's mm-hmm. the way to do it. I know some people do it on different coasts, and it's kind of weird the way it sort of has evolved, but the best way is just to get yourself in the room with the instruments and the paper and start doing it. Yeah.
You got to be in proximity, breathing the same air.
Can you let me reminisce a little about Meredith Brooks? How was she to work with?
Sure. Meredith was a dynamo. She was very focused. She really believed in herself. And she was, you know, she played guitar great, she sang great, and she was open to taking walks with, I mean, we wrote the half of her album together.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, walking and talking, and things would come up. We were in a room the day we wrote Bitch with an acoustic guitar and not even a boombox, not even a beat. We knew the idea of what we wanted to write.
Oh, good.
And it was just, we just batted it back and forth like a ping pong game.
So it was a little bit of give and take. Not, were you top heavy on the part with the lyrics?
Oh, no. That was like completely 50-50. Line, 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 line. It was divine.
Yeah.
Now, it was really good.
Some of those other album cuts, I haven't picked up that album in years. I had the CD back then, and I remember the first one out of the box was I Need.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of those other ones. And she always, you know, she would sort of have that little rap style where she would just speak the words and in rhythm and then sing, you
mm-hmm.
know. And she had an attitude, and I thought, I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
So, she did.
Like, don't, I'm who I am, and if you don't like it, there you go.
Yeah. I don't think I'm like that. But I don't think it hurts people that are.
Just exploring that.
Uh-huh.
I've listened to all kinds of different music. I like, in fact, the guy that produced that album was sort of a punk guy, right? A Geza person?
Well, Geza only
Geza.
I think Geza only produced Bitch.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he didn't do the other songs?
No, it was David. Oh, yeah, Geza only did that song. But that was the only song on the album that was really a big hit.
Most of my influence was the 70s, and I think you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, we had some things in common. I remember you talked about Carly Simon was
mm-hmm.
a big thing. Did you have all those albums, like No Secrets?
Oh,
and
yes.
Hot Cakes? And
yeah.
I loved that because of she wrote most of her stuff, just like James Taylor did, Carol King did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, people would jump on the bandwagon with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that always created some magic. But Todd Rundgren was another one. What did you think of him back then?
I was a Todd freak. I still am.
Yeah.
In fact, a couple of months ago, I saw an ad on Facebook, of all places, can you believe it, an ad on Facebook, that he was down at the Grove, a shopping center that's about 2 miles away.
Okay.
And as I was cussing out Facebook for all the unwanted advertising,
right.
I realized that I was the 1% that day. I was the one that saw Todd Rundgren was going to be at the Grove on Facebook. And got in my car and went down there, bought a CD, and got my picture. I mean, I just, you know, that's Something Anything album. And I just, he was, for me, that was what pop music was all about. I loved it.
You're more of a lyricist, though, aren't you, than a song?
I do both.
You do both.
I do both. I think that people know me more as a lyricist because lyricists were, people needed lyricists more, almost more. When I first started out, I did as much music, and I think I looked at, you know, I asked people for lyrics for my music, and I was never really satisfied with the lyrics. This is when I first started collaborating. I always wrote lyrics by myself.
Uh-huh.
And so I just thought, you know, this isn't going to do if I want to make songs that have ideas about what's going on in my head. I'm going to have to write them myself. And most songwriters those days needed lyrics more than they needed music. So,
yeah. and good stories probably that went with the songs.
So I just said, okay, well, that's what I'll contribute more of. But I'm very musical, and I'm happy to pick up a guitar. Unless somebody plays way better than I do, I'm happy to play.
Isn't the word Todd Rundgren in one of those songs you did for Meredith?
Maybe.
I think so.
I think so. It
just occurred to me when I was talking about him.
I got to give that album another listen.
I know.
It's been a while.
You know what you said also?
I've been busy.
Let me remind you. Yeah, I know you're busy. These things just flashed through my head. You said something about the universe doesn't let you hear all your music. It'd be great if you could always put the CD in, but you'd like to hear it come across Sirius or something like that, you know?
Well, I don't know how often that's going to happen.
No.
Everybody always calls me. They're like, I heard bitch today. I'm like, the universe is trying to keep me humble because I never hear it. I never hear my songs.
No, I wonder why that is.
I don't know why. You know,
doesn't
because on satellite, I very seldom listen to 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
I listen to either 70s or today's music.
I wasn't into the 90s.
Or maybe just the songs that satellite picks for the 90s. Or just, I don't know. But I guess that's why I'm going to miss it.
There are goods and bads. But yeah, I think I'm the same way. Yeah, whatever's current, I'll listen to. But I haven't backtracked in, like, you know, for anything from 2000 up to the present.
It's, really?
Yeah.
Well, once I get on 70s, I can't get off.
Yeah, it's addictive. Because you either grew up with it or you go, like, I didn't realize that song
Memphis
existed. Yeah.
Oh, those were the words.
Did you? Yeah. You said you were a Todd Rundgren fanatic. Did you have that first one, Something Anything?
Of course.
That was the one that...
That's
the one that grabbed me, and then AM stations would play... Hello, It's Me, and I Saw the Light.
Yes.
And I heard that all the time, and it never really occurred to me that that's sort of a tribute to Carole King. So, it does sound like one of her songs. It looks like he was trying to do an homage to her. You know?
I didn't know that. Which song?
Both of those. Hello,
really?
It's Me. Yeah, if you listen to it. Same way I always felt with the Carly Simon when she did...
You're So Vain.
The Right Thing to Do, you know, with these slow piano type ballads. I almost pictured Carole King at the piano, yet it had nothing to do with her. But, you know,
right. You
never know if they
were
all
influenced. We're influenced by, you know, our environment.
Yeah. But the thing about, the reason I asked you about the lyrics and versus the music or together, Todd Rundgren was one of those guys I got inspired by because I like the way he recorded projects in his house in the 70s. And
right.
That got me going where I go, I want to do that too. So I would like build up like a little makeshift studio with tape recorders and
right.
It was not something that I'd be proud of if I took pictures of it. You'd go like, what in the world is he doing with these little tiny, it's like toys in his room.
Well, we all have to experiment.
Yeah.
That's how we find ourselves.
Yeah. But so you grew up in New York in Freeport. What was life like out there as a kid?
Life was great. It was all I knew. And I was always a happy person. So... I had nothing to compare it to.
Yeah. Well,
it was an affluent, very diverse culturally. I've been happy since the day I was born.
It's two different worlds, and I do I've only visited there a couple times. I like it. I like New York.
But
now I'm making more friends as I do this show that I have got to come out there and visit. But you've made a home for yourself in Los Angeles in the area. Do you frequently do you ever go back? You have family?
Well, I've got family there and friends. And then I spent a long time in New York City before I came to Los Angeles, but you know, I think My bones are on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And my body is here, and it's all good. Best of both worlds. Well, I like going back and forth.
I'm glad that the air, you know, proverbial air, is good for you to breathe out here. Because some people come out here and they don't like it. They go back, you know. It's a different kind of vibe. It's hard to put your finger on it, but when I go downtown or to Hollywood or something like that, it's like, oh, okay, good. I'm glad I'm back in the suburbs over here. Because it's a weird thing. I'm skipping a bunch of stuff. You know, I could do a whole show if I asked you, have you heard of the Beatles before? You know, that would be cool.
Don't even ask me that.
What's fun is that you used to do, people should go to your Facebook page. Is it still like / Serial Songwriter?
Please do. I'll tell you what it is. It is www.facebook.com/serial songwriter. and find me there, chat me up. I ask people not to send me music because I get sent so much music.
Me too.
I wouldn't be able to listen to it all, and it's really not fair to the writer because I can't focus. But I mean, I just can't give it all my attention because there's so much. But I'm happy to chat about anything music business.
Yeah.
And I'm available, and I actually return questions, answer questions. And my website is, you know, Shelley Peiken, shelleypeiken.com.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Where does Peiken hail from? What is that? What is that name?
My father.
Oh, really? Thank you. Okay, I'll scratch that one.
Kept his name. He had no sons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, how many, you have any siblings?
I have a sister.
You have a sister.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you were growing up, you mentioned the fact that you would sing songs, and you sort of had that enter your consciousness, but you really went on to go do fashion design.
Yeah. It happened late. We weren't growing up in such, with all this media and the TV shows and the reality shows and the mm-hmm. voice contestants, and it wasn't all around us all the time. Songs came from just kicking a pebble off the road, you know. It came from real life. So
I
think kids, these, you know, a lot of kids just think about what's going on around them and want to get into it at a way younger age.
Well, that's kind of nice. Yeah, but you have something in common with my my daughter. Went on to she's still in school doing the fashion design and marketing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, that's when I heard you talk about that, that's kind of how she was. She wanted to be a musician, then she wanted to be a doctor, and then she wanted to be this and that, and,
mm-hmm.
and then she always gravitated to some kind of artistic thing, so she went into that, and she's a very talented designer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we always had a love of music, and you know, she took me, she's 25 now, she took me with her friends to Dodger Stadium the other day, and I'm actually wearing the concert t-shirt, AC/DC, but I knew all the songs, and they were all impressed. So
uh-huh.
They were impressed I knew that, and beforehand they were playing some Beatles and Stones music, like to ramp up before the act came out, and they were going, Dad, what's that song, what's the name of that song,
and when, knew it all,
when did it come out, you know, because I was a wealth of knowledge. Yeah, I was. I think I have trouble with the recall nowadays.
Uh-huh.
But I was pretty good at that, and I said, okay, ask me another one, go ahead. So
a hero. It's
fun like that. Oh yeah, because I don't want to sit there and struggle with trying to relate to the kids.
So nice talking to you,
Jamie. Oh yeah, thank you so much. If you are so gracious to come back, I would welcome
it. Sure, let's do it when the book comes out. I'd love to.
Sure, the book should be coming out next year.
March 1,
uh-huh. 2016. That sounds great.
Uh-huh.
And give Susan my...
I will.
My, you know,
I'll have her get in touch. I'm sure she'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, please talk. If you had a nice time here talking, I will.
Absolutely.
Because you're a very nice woman to talk to.
Aw, thank you, Dean. Stay in touch.
Before you go, would you do my tradition, artists and songwriters who listen to this, can you give them a quick little piece of Shelley wisdom for if they happen to be struggling or they're something to keep them focused, and give them a pat on the back and say, just keep going?
Well, I would say, you know, there's a lot of landmines out there, even more than there used to be, and warnings from people like me telling you how hard it is. If there's something you want to do in life, whether it's songwriting or anything else, ignore all the warnings.
Great.
You have to. In order to make it, you'll have to, like, listen to the warnings, put them in the back of your mind, and keep going.
Wonderful. Let's talk when the book comes out, Shelley.
Please.
You are amazing and so approachable, and I think that that's going to come across in your book, so everybody should get that when it comes out. I'll make sure that everybody knows.
Great, Dean. Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a great day today.
Lovely.
And I'll be in touch with you later, okay?
Thank you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, there is one happy and talented songwriter and a very sweet woman to get to talk to on the phone, Shelley Peiken. What an honor and a delight. And I am looking forward to reading this new book, Confessions of a Serial Songwriter. You've got to check it out. Please go to shelleypeiken.com. You can get all the goods on Shelley, her music, her blog, and that book. Please check it out. I must get going. What a great show. Until next week, this is Dean Olson, the Strong Writer on the radio, saying to you, let's all put our best pens forward and be strong writers together. Go forth, have a wonderful weekend. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to Strong Writer on the radio. with your host, Dean Olson, on the Amazing Women and Men of Power, the world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.